Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Fine Memorial Day. You know, as I was just thinking of, you know, when I was in Vietnam, that a good friend of mine was rotating out. He had like 3 days left. And so he rotated. Well, he was going to rotate out, go back home. We loaded him on a chopper and sent him back in to base camp because he had to get things packed and there was paperwork and things that you need to do. Plus, it would be a little safer for him. Well, while he was in there, there came a need. They had a convoy that had to go to Saigon. And I don't know if he volunteered or if they just picked him. But he was going to man a machine gun and lead the convoy. Well, he got killed in that convoy. 3 days left. You know, and it's kind of like you never know. You never know when you're going to leave. And then you think of Memorial Day as well. But I think a lot of what Jesus did. Here he gave his life, as many veterans have done, military men who died in combat and whatnot. But Jesus suffered and died for all of us as well, that we might be saved. As military, we tried to protect your freedom. We served our country. And in serving our country, we served you. But Jesus served the whole world, made it all possible for anyone that would receive. And so he died for us, for salvation. It's so sad that with all that he did, that sometimes it's been so long that we have trouble cherishing that. We think about, oh, yeah, it was good. Thank you, Lord, for my salvation. But, you know, sometimes I think that we need to maybe cherish and not lose that excitement in what God's done for us. You know? You know how you get a good thing, and then after a while, you still like it, but it's to the side, and something else seems to take its place. And so I think we need to be really cautious of something like that. But anyway, we've been in John chapter 15 talking about the vine and the branches. And I want to go through, if I could, this be the last Sunday we're on that. You're all thinking, boy, I'm glad this is the last one. But it holds so much for all of us. So we'll see what the Holy Spirit does, how he leads us, and what he might share with us. But we're in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Now, in these verses and chapter, the teachings from Jesus about the relationship, our relationship between him and, of course, the church as a whole, which is us. And he uses the metaphor of the vine and the branches. So it's not our walk with the Lord is not all about our doing, but it's really more about our abiding. You know, a lot of times we think, man, there's so much to do. I got to do this. I got to do that. But it's I think it's wrapped up in so much more of just simply abiding. There's peace in just abiding. And I think a lot of times when we get caught up in the things that have to be done and we need to do and on that we lose out, miss out on what the Lord is really trying to get across to us. You know, and he's sharing, just abide in me. So I'm the vine. I'll take care of you. I'll nourish you. I'll give you what you need. I'll point you in the right direction. If you mess up a little bit, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. I'll work it out with you. See, he's saying, I'm divine. You're just the branches. And I love you. You just need to abide. And when you abide in me, you'll be very prosperous in what you try to do. Amen? Father, thank you for the word that you're about to share with us. Holy Spirit, just speak to your people this morning. I thank you that you open our hearts and you give us a desire that we just want to know more. We want to learn. Father, we want to be effective in abiding in you and you being then able to work through us and producing much fruit. So we give you thanks, Lord. It's not us, but it's you. We're divine. You're divine. We're the branches. Thank you, Father, for making us that in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's not necessarily about all of our doing, folks. We get to do. I love that we get to do. But the main thing is just learning to abide. Just learning to trust. I don't remember my kids ever coming up to this when they were growing up and wondering whether we were going to have enough money to pay the rent or make the house payment or anything. That was the furthest thing from their mind. They knew they had a home. They knew that the Lord was going to take care of us because he was working through us. And so they just trusted us and they were just kids. They had a good time. They got in trouble at times, but it was all okay because they were growing up. And I want kids to be kids. You know, we don't always get that. Until we get to be maybe 100, and then we might forget that we had a good time. But kids are great, and so they never worry. But you know, doesn't the Bible call us the children of God? Aren't we his children, made in his image? So he did all the work. And as we abide, we can relax. And allow him to produce fruit in our lives. So in verses 1 and 2, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So we're not in any of this alone. We're walking and continuing to walk and live in the Lord. And that's why I think the Lord said in Matthew 11, 28 and through 30, he says to his children, as they get busy and things add up and there's hurt and frustration and disappointments and all that goes along with life, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And he says, you'll find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So folks, it's not all about production and working and doing and being and all of this. It's simply abiding in the Lord and allowing him to take on the heavy task rather than us trying to do it. We're not capable of doing it. We're not designed that way. Second Timothy 1:12 says this as well. It says, Paul speaking, he says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. He says, nevertheless, although I'm suffering, and doing the work of the Lord. He's saying it's okay because he says, I'm not ashamed. You know, you may share Jesus and somebody might turn you down and ridicule you or make fun of you or whatever, you know, but it's okay. They don't understand. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that. Call me what you want. But I know what my Savior calls me. He calls me blessed. He calls me his child. And he's very pleased with me as he is with you. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. You know, we commit our souls to him, and he's able to take care of that until the day that he takes us out of this world and we join him. But also, Father God is actively involved in our lives. They call him the gardener. And he's emphasizing his part in nurturing and guiding us. So, folks, we got the vine. We draw nutrients from and encouragement and abilities and all that we need. But then we got the Father backing all of that up. And what he's doing is trying to bless us and help us by getting a lot of things that are not important, that may be hindering us. He wants to get them out of our lives because all they'll do is pull us down. Folks, it's like trying to help a family member that doesn't want help sometimes. It's like you can tell them, you can pray for them and with them, you can give them a lot of things, but sometimes they're not willing to change. And so it burdens you. It hurts because you know what's important. If they would only listen. And that stuff just tears us down. And the Father's trying to help us to get through that and over that and learn to trust him because he cares, actually cares much more for him than what we do. We might think that's impossible or very hard to do, but it's true. So we got to learn to really trust the Lord. So the Father is growing us into our dependency upon Christ for spiritual growth and our developing a relationship with him. And we do that through prayer and study, also his word, reading his word. So I want to encourage you, be open to the pruning in your life. It may hurt, but it's needed for you. So allow the pruning, allow the Lord to work in your life. Embrace challenges as opportunities and for growth, and ask God to help you bear more fruit in your character, also in our actions. So we're secure in the word. Verse 3 says, you're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. I kind of like Trump's thing, things promised and things changed, I believe, is it? Yeah, promises made, that's what it is. Promises made and promises kept. And that's our God. Need to realize he's made promises and he keeps his word. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness. You know, sometimes we wonder, it kind of looks like God's not doing anything. We just wonder, God, don't you care? God, don't you know? Lord, I pray, nothing's happening. So he promises, as not as we do sometimes. It says we count it as slackness sometimes when we don't see him move. But the Lord is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. See, God's doing a whole lot more than just what you're praying about and for. There's a lot of things going on that only God can do. We've got to learn to trust him and allow him to work with assurance that he is working and he will take care of it. But of course, you got to remember that as a person, all of us have free wills. But God still works to change the mind. I know he had to change my mind. He had to scare me half to death in order for me to change. You know, when he told me if I died that night, he said, you're going straight to hell. I'm like, that's not a place I want to go. And so I sought him, and the Lord then changed me. He saved me. So Jesus reassures his disciples that they're already clean from his teachings. This emphasizes the power of his word to cleanse and transform. Engage with scripture. That's what we need to do in order to be transformed and to see things happen in our lives. It says engage with scripture regularly. Allow it to share or shape your thoughts and our actions. Remember that our identity in Christ is one of being set apart. Folks, believe, set apart means to be clean, to be set apart from what might be dirty because of what he's done in our lives. And this happens, Ephesians 5:26 talks about what he did. He says that he might sanctify and cleanse the church, us, with the washing of water by the word. That is to make holy and to set apart. Folks, that's why we look so weird to the world. Y'all know that? We think different. We act different. We walk different. We talk different. There's things that they do that they just love to do and pay big bucks to do it. And we don't even like to do it. We don't want any part of it. See, we're weird. We're different. It's because we've been cleaned, been sanctified. We've been changed by the Lord. You know, and a lot of people hold that against us, but folks, you need to realize what a blessing that is. Because you watch their lives as it goes down years later. Man, there's some people we hadn't seen in 30, 40 years who refused to walk with the Lord. And we look at them now and it's like, wow. A lot of them had lost everything. Their kids, a lot of them, I know their kids are in jail, in prison, are dead. A lot of them have lost everything. They're just skimping by. So call me weird. Call me different. It's okay. Because I know who I've believed in. And I know that he's keeping me to the end. And I'm not going to be afraid to stand before Jesus. So I like Jesus' prayer to his disciples in John 17:17. And I know you've heard some of this last week, but it's all right. I like to hear it again. He says, sanctify, he's talking to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. That's in John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Here, the living word is central to setting believers apart in the truth. Now, we talked about in life how things do get hard. And a lot of times we carry a lot of things. You know, I see a lot of people, they sit in church and they seem to be kind of gloomy. Like things are heavy. Like they're carrying a whole lot. And some of it's hurt, disappointment, rejection. There's a lot of things that go on. And what hurts the most is when it comes from someone we really care about. Amen? Isn't that right? And maybe even carrying the load of knowing that they're going definitely in the wrong direction and they need to change or else. And so you carry all that, but it hinders our real walk and our growth in the Lord. And so we come into church and we're like, all right, Lord, I'm here. And I'm thankful that you do that. And I know the Lord is as well. Because in it, hopefully you get to hear something that might help you to change the way you're feeling or what you're thinking or what's going on in your lives. It's to teach. That's what the preaching is all about. And I kind of like this. Did we talk last week about the foot washing? I think we did, didn't we? Y'all don't remember? Did we not? Well, good. I'm glad we didn't. Because now I get to talk about it again. But anyway, let's look at it. It's in John chapter 13. Remember when they had the Last Supper, Jesus was enjoying that with his disciples. And at the end, he went and he took off his garment and he put on a towel and then he filled a pan with water and he got a rag and he started washing the disciples' feet. Remember that? So he's washing the disciples' feet, but then I love Peter. In fact, I think Peter, I think I'm a lot like Peter sometimes. And let me tell you, it does hurt. A lot of it really hurts sometimes. But it's all right. Peter said, Lord, you're gonna wash my feet? And that's in verse 6. So in verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand right now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. I think he honored and loved Jesus so much that he thought, Lord, I'm not going to allow you to do that thing to me. I would rather do it to you. So it wasn't disrespectful at all. But it's like he just wanted rather served rather than being served, especially by Jesus. But Jesus said to him here, he says, if I do not wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. You know, folks, sometimes we need to receive a foot washing. Jesus said, if you don't participate in things like this, he says, soon you won't end up having a relationship with me. See, when you carry the pain and the dirt of the world and all of you heap that all on your back and you try to carry it, you're not good to yourself or to God. Because you're hurting. The enemy's using it to just kick your teeth out. And the Lord is saying, I'm not going to tolerate that. I don't want to see you tormented like that and hurt like that. So he washes their feet, and that's why he said to Peter, "Say, hey, Peter, if you don't know what I'm doing, but you will know. But if you don't let me do this," he says, "you'll have no part in me." There's a problem. Folks, sometimes there's a problem. And we wonder where God is and why he's not working in our lives and why things aren't changing and why this is not happening or why this is happening. And I think then it's time to get our feet washed. Simon said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Because he wanted to be part of Jesus. And Jesus said to him in verse 10, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." And he says, "But not all of you." He's talking about Judas, who was betraying him. So, folks, when we're clean, it's not saying a lot of people are taught that they need to be saved again. The Lord said, no, you're already clean. You're hurting, you're downtrodden, you're overburdened. You don't know whether you're coming or going. And he says, no, you're clean, no matter how you're feeling right now. He says, you're clean, you're okay. You've been washed by the word. And by the water of the word, he says, you're okay. But he says, you need your feet washed. You know, in spirituality, how does that work? Y'all get down sometimes serving God, and that we need a spiritual foot washing. We need that time where we can get with the Lord, where he can put his arms around us, that he can set us down and he can talk to us. As I hope he's doing right now, saying, hey, give it to me. It's okay. Like Peter, remember when Peter denied Jesus 3 times? Afterwards, Peter was still hurting, carrying that guilt. Can you imagine? He loves the Lord. But he was weak at the moment. And he denied Jesus, not once or twice, but 3 times. And Peter said, how could I have done such a thing? How? Lord, how? What's wrong with me? Is something wrong with me? Am I not saved, really? What's going on in my life? Lord, I don't get excited about anything. When I read the word, it doesn't really work for me. I'm not getting a lot of understanding like I used to. And Jesus said to Peter, well, Peter said one day, he says, I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing. You know, that's the answer. It's just, I want to get away from the issue, the problem. Some people, they do drugs. Or they drink alcohol and get drunk all the time. Hurting people, trying to get away from the pain. And here's Peter wanting to get away, and he says, I'm going fishing. And the others said, well, we'll go with you. So they all went out and fished all night and didn't catch anything. That was a bad night. And then all of a sudden, somebody's on the shore and they say, well, try the other side. And they did. And they caught like 153 fish. And they're trying to pull the net and can't, and they're wondering about it breaking and everything because there was such weight that was in there. And Peter's kind of like, he says to John, he said, who is that? John said, I think it's Jesus. Peter grabbed his outer garment, put it on, and he jumped into the water and swam to Jesus while the rest of them just got in the boat. They got in the little dinghy and went to shore. Let me ask you this. When the Lord is standing on your shore and he's calling to you, Do you jump in? Or you settle for the dinghy? You know, sometimes we need to think. There's a lot of things God wants to do and God wants to show, but we're reluctant. Well, I tried that before, it didn't work. Well, I'm too old now. Well, we're such a little church. Folks, when we realize it's the Lord, I think we need to learn to jump in. Amen? So it's kind of like, where are we? Most Christians, a lot of them probably wouldn't even get in a dinghy. Talk loud, Lord. We're staying out here. But then after that, the Lord, after he even had breakfast prepared for him. You see, the Lord prepares everything for him. He's done it all. And all we got to do is come. All we got to do is jump in. Take the plunge. Calgon, take me away. Remember that commercial? And after they ate, Jesus said, he asked Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? See, here's the foot washing. This is the spiritual foot washing that a lot of us need. And Jesus said to Peter, he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. And then Jesus said, feed my lambs. I believe that was the first thing. Yep. Feed my lamb. And then he asked him again. Once wasn't enough. Now, I want you to notice the focus here. The focus wasn't, man, Peter, you messed up. How dare you deny me like that? I needed a friend at the time, and you threw me under the bus. I'm not very pleased with you. See, that wasn't anything of what Jesus did. You see, we've got to keep the focus. Don't focus on your problems. Focus on the problem solver. Jesus didn't bring that up to him, Peter, you denied me. He just simply asked, and he knew. And he knew what Peter's answer would be, but see, he had to get Peter thinking different, outside of the box, not focusing on his failures, his weakness. See, a lot of us carry guilt, a lot of guilt. Well, my kids would have turned out better if maybe we didn't raise them right. Maybe we didn't do this right. Maybe it is my fault. And that's not the Lord. See, the enemy wants to tear us down and weigh us down so he can stop us. And Jesus did this. This is his focus. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. He asked him the second time, Peter, really? Do you love me more than all of these others? And Peter says, Lord, you know that I love you. And then he says, well, tend my sheep then. Jesus is saying, hey, I trust you. You can still work with me. You're still part of me. I love you too. And I can use you if you're willing. Then he even asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? And Peter saying the third time, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Can you imagine the heartfelt attitude Peter must have had? Lord, you know. And the Lord gave him another commission. Well, then feed my sheep. Folks, I see a lot of us at times, a lot in the church, we need a foot washing, a spiritual foot washing. I always want to go early in the morning and spend my time with the Lord. Does it work with some of you? I know, but that's what works for me, the time that I have. And if I need a foot washing, it happens there. Because there's times that when I'm hurting and carrying something, and I'll just weep before the Lord. I'll lay it out to him. I'll have a good cry. You know, a good cry, that helps a lot sometimes. You know, it really does. My wife always wonders, why do you keep all the toilet tissue or napkins, Kleenexes? I got it there. Why do you have to have Kleenexes? Well, I just need them. I like a good cry sometimes. I like having my spiritual feet washed. I like to have that time with the Lord where it's just him and me. And he can take all of the hurt, the frustration, and the burdens. And I receive his encouragement and his love. And his arms around me at times. But see, we've got to set that time aside so that the Lord can do that for us. And he will do it. So I want to encourage you, find your place, find your time. Spend that time with the Lord. Folks, it's the best place you can be. See, we've got to be renewed. We can't carry all that stuff. It'll kill you. You got to learn to just give it to the Lord. Folks, then a lot of things change and happen in our lives. It's like, now I feel light. Man, I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go. So refresh. Learn to get your spiritual foot washing. It's important, and it's very needful. And I've got a lot more. You know me. I'm windy, but we're going to close there. And I just pray that you hear what the Lord is saying to you. I pray that it's not me just saying it. But my prayer is that you hear it and it's the Lord saying, that's what I say. And he's saying to a lot of us, let me wash your feet. Do you want to stay a part of me? Let me wash your feet. I want to get rid of that burden that you're carrying. I know it's worthwhile, but you don't need to carry it. Take my yoke. Don't take that one. Take mine. It's easy. It's light. It's easier to carry. I'll take care of the rest of it. I'm good at it. You can trust me. That's what I pray that you hear the Lord saying to you right now. He's got a lot that he's going to do to this little church. I don't know how, what, when, where, but does that matter? All that matters is that if we learn to wash our feet and let him wash our feet, and we learn to wash each other's feet. You see somebody hurting down, whatever. Sometimes, you know, people say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, sometimes you don't need to say anything. Put a hand on their shoulder. Give them a hug. A word of encouragement. Hey, I missed you. Good seeing you. You're just so willing to serve God, and I appreciate you. Folks, we can spiritually wash one another's feet, and we all need that. They're talking of writing cards and sending it to different people at the church site. I think that's great. That's important. But we need to keep doing it, and even do it more. Father, I thank you for your work. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to realize how much we need to be washed again and again to get the filth and, Lord, the pressures that we face all the time, the needs that are there, the hurts, Lord. We'll give them all to you. Help us to just allow you to wash our feet. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your people in this church. Thank you for what you can do with us and through us as we allow you to clean us up at times, get rid of the burdens and the junk, and to fill us with your love, your glory, your patience, the fruit of your spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, that we can be long-suffering, that we can be good, we can love one another. Thank you, Father, for this. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to read this blessing over you. May the Lord bless you, protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.